William Bennett, a CNN contributor, reported in 2011 that for the first time in history, women are better educated, more ambitious, and arguably more successful than men. I challenge that report because I feel that women have always been educated, ambitious, and just as successful as men. However, they were denied the opportunity to achieve success like men in the past. His report read that men have fallen behind and now account for less than half of college degrees. Where are we, men? Where are we? He went on to say, man's response has been pathetic. Today, 18 to 34-year-old men spend more time playing video games today, every day, than 12 to 17-year-old boys. While women are graduating college, finding jobs, creating companies, and supporting families by themselves, too many men are not stepping up, not getting married, not raising their families, not standing in the gap. Women are beginning to take the place of men in many areas, and there's nothing wrong with that, because if they put in the work, they deserve the accolades. It has gotten so bad that it has led some to ask, do we even need men? Brethren, what does God think about that statement? Do we even need men? His own creation. Have you noticed that when God wants to get something done, something big, something huge, He looks for a man to lead the way? Not that He has to, but He uses a man. God used Moses to lead the multitude out of bondage. God used Jonah to preach to a nation. And God used Jesus Christ to die for all of mankind. God will use a man. And we know, brethren, that we are to follow God and Christ, His word, His truth. Christ says, I am the way, the life. So why does God always use a man to lead the way? Brethren, God looks for a man to have faith and to have trust in Him. God looks for a man to believe in Him. Go with me, if you will, to the book of John. John 14. See if I can get there with you. John 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas' response to that was, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus' response is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And drop down to verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Brethren, God is looking for believers. to carry out His work. Believers to lead the way. Now, there was a time when God did not find a man to lead the way. There was a time when God did not find a man to stand in the gap. And that's what I want to talk about today, standing in the gap. That's the title of my message. And I'd like to define what that is and show the basis for it in God's Word, while including some biblical and modern day examples of those who stood in the gap. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, and we'll begin in verse 29, and we'll break it into the middle of the story here. But God is extremely unhappy with Israel because they refused to listen to Ezekiel, who was sent on God's authority to warn them, but they refused to listen. So let's start in verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy. And they have wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man. He says, I looked for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. And I have recompensed their deeds on their heads, says the Lord. Brethren, God was looking for a man to stand in the gap then, and He is looking for a man to stand in the gap today. And there are different situations and reasons that we may be called upon to stand in the gap. It could be to help a widow. It could be to help a family member. It could be to help a stranger if the situation is right and safe. The problem is, when the opportunity comes, often we know it. We see it, but we hesitate. And we turn our back on the opportunity. We don't want to get involved. And God may have been preparing you and leading you for this opportunity for years, and you turn your back. The question today is, the next time you see it, men, will you exercise the courage to do it? Will you stand in the gap? Will I stand in the gap? By show of hands, how many of you know or either heard Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong? By show of hands, quite a few of you know him. I never met him. He was before my time in the church. I know his vocation was advertising. And when God began to shape and to mold him to lead the way, he could have hesitated. He could have turned his back on the opportunity. He could have went a different direction, but he didn't. He stood in the gap for you, for me, for America, and most importantly, before God. I'm not advocating that we follow any man instead of God. I am saying that God will use a man to lead the way. We hope and pray, you and I, that it's a man after God's own heart so that we're not deceived. But let me ask you this, where would the church be if Mr. Armstrong didn't stand in the gap? Where would you be? Where would I be? Me, I would probably be going to church on Christmas and Easter like I was, but other times, not so much. The results of him standing in the gap and leading the way, God pulled me off of the streets and led me to the church. The results of him standing in the gap, my children and my grandchildren come to church. Look at us today. We're a family because someone stood in the gap. Someone led the way. Don't get me wrong, I know God did this. But I also know that God will use a man to lead the way. Now let's reel it in a little closer to home. Remember when your parents would protect you and give you advice? They provided you your daily needs. They made sure you were respected and treated equally. They built a wall to keep the enemy out. But there were times when cracks were knocked in the wall. And somebody needed to step up and fill the breach in the wall. And your parents, without hesitation, would step up as they should. Young people, as parents, God expects us to stand in the gap. God expects us to guide you and to lead you and to love you and to protect you. You know the story of Moses. Moses was a man that God set out to use. And as a baby boy, his mother put him in a basket and let him float down the Nile. She didn't want to see him die at the hands of the Egyptians. So it was her attempt to save him, which it did work. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, without access to a mother or a father. Well, he had the presence of a mother who would nurse him, but she didn't nurture him. But still, Moses grew up successful, educated, intelligent, but there were gaps in his life. And young folks, when there is a gap in your life, meaning there is no guidance, no advice, and no one to help you, when you try to fulfill your own destiny, often you will make needless mistakes because there's nobody there to guide you in the process. You see, the first time Moses tried to fulfill his own destiny without guidance, he ended up committing murder. Moses had to flee the city, had to run for his life. And the would-be king, the would-be leader of the Hebrew children, was now an outlaw because there was no one there to guide him. But God led him to a man named Jethro. Jethro wasn't his biological father, but he became his surrogate father. Jethro filled the gap in Moses' life. Moses spent 40 years learning from Jethro. Jethro stood in the gap. You see, God needed to get, he needed to teach Moses patience and trust. And working with sheep every day taught him both. And the relationship with Jethro caused the gap in Moses' life to begin to close. And so when Moses was 80 years old, God told him to return to Egypt and to free the Israelites from slavery. So he did. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh had to go through 10 plagues before he got the message. Moses stood in the gap. The thing about God, brethren, he doesn't need a multitude of people to get something done. When God created the earth, he did not create a committee. He did not create board members. He did not create an organization. God said, everything I need to inhabit the planet, I will place at the foot of one man. So God created a man to have dominion over every living thing that moves. And when God was ready to liberate the children of Israel from captivity, he could have sent an army. He could have sent the angels, but he didn't. He sent one man. He sent Moses. And today I challenge all men, every single one of us, because it's time that we man up. It's time that we stand in the gap. Now, I do believe that every man in here is doing just that. But if you are not, brethren, it's time. We need to stand up and we need to be the men that God called us to be. Be the head, be the leader, be the covering, be the guide, be spiritual leaders of the world today. It's time for all men to man up and take responsibility. Men, we need to do the thing that God called us to do, and I'm talking to myself especially. Our families, our communities, America is suffering from the lack of leadership from men. God is looking for a man to stand in the gap. The United States of America, like the nation of Israel, has turned its back on God. And the only difference is we're captives in our own homeland instead of being captives in a foreign land. Or we'd like to believe that we still live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. But in reality, we have become slaves to our own sinful lifestyles. Our defensive wall has been breached. Brethren, prophecy will be fulfilled. And someday we won't have to worry about all of this evil and hate. But that day is not today. Today, God is searching for someone to build up the wall, for someone to stand in the gap before Him on behalf of this land. Brethren, God is looking for someone, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, someone not afraid to stand for what is right. Someone not afraid to seek godly advice. Someone not afraid to cry out to God. Someone not afraid to stand up against the enemy on behalf of our family, our friends, community, our nation, and most importantly, before God. I don't think it would take much to convince any of you how serious our situation in America is today. I mean, we're living in a day and time when the church has lost much of its influence. Gone are the days when the church has been the most respected and influential organization in the community. Those days are gone. Instead of being the light of the world or the salt to the earth, many Christians have lost their zeal and enthusiasm for God. Many have become indifferent, apathetic, pathetic, whatever you want to call it. The list could go on and on. You name it. Morals in America have been on a decline for the past 20 years. Today, we read about sex scandals from preachers, politicians, to professional athletes, and the list goes on and on. Music has gone downhill with cursing and vulgarity. Movies today are not worth watching. Even some of the news programs have gone more on the side of entertainment for adults rather than actually reporting the news. Children's books are coming out embracing the idea that homosexuality is good. Television shows are being broadcast showing girls trying to find out who the father of their baby is. And they're laughing about it because they don't know who the baby daddy is. Young ladies, listen to me. Just because he's male enough to have a baby, that doesn't make him a father. A father loves, a father guards, a father guides for the duration. That's a father. God is looking for a man to stand in the gap to protect our children, to protect our culture, our nation, someone to build, to rebuild the wall. You know, whenever I get a chance to watch the news, it's upsetting. Not that people don't see the things the way I see them, but we live in a country that is divided into two categories. One side wants to change every fiber of our lives by taking God out of the country and forcing us to digest their teachings and immoral lifestyles. And if we disagree or do not accept, we have no tolerance charged against us. The other side is conservative, saying, hold on to the values in the Bible. Hold on to the value that life begins at conception, believing that some things should stay in the closet. We're at a crossroads, and God is not happy. Brethren, Israel was at a crossroad, and God was going to bring judgment upon them because of their immoral ways. God was not happy with Israel, and they were in big trouble, spiritually speaking. And they were losing the battle. They were drifting farther and farther away from God, much like our nation is today. God calls attention to many of their problems and their failures. And He makes the point that they don't have to be destroyed if someone would step up, rebuild the wall, and stand in the gap. Today we find ourselves in a very similar situation. The same immoral conditions prevail, so we can expect similar tragedy unless people wake up. America is at a crossroads. We are there. The gap between the two sides is getting wider and wider. The tension between the two sides is getting more and more intense. And having a moral foundation is no longer encouraged in today's society. Since the beginning of mankind, Satan has polluted man's thinking. Satan breached the wall back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had it made. Had all the food they could eat. All the seasoning they could use. They had gold, precious stones. They were given the opportunity to make a true moral choice. They had it made, but they blew it. Satan saw the crack in the wall. He got in the gap. He got in their hearts and in their minds, and he convinced them to eat from the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil. And that was the beginning of man's moral decline. The late President John Adams is famously quoted as saying, "The United States Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. Where did it go? And how do we get it back?" Brethren, we know that America was founded on certain ideas about freedom, human dignity, social responsibility. Or to sum it up in one word, America was built on morals. We were built to stand in the gap. We fought in World War I and World War II to secure our future, to secure our freedom, to establish businesses, to build wealth, and to have rights. That's what we fought for. And it's no secret that our future lies in the hands of our children. But here's the rub. Children today are growing up without a moral background. People have basically decided to lower the bar on doing what's right. Since the beginning of time, society and culture were based on morals. Our founding fathers of America built the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution on morals. And now our schools, the Supreme Justice, our government have null and voided, defamed the very institutions that built this country. And brethren, the gap is widening. There's another battle going on. And it's not about Republican or Democrat, intelligent or uneducated, liberal or conservative. It's not what it's about. It's about walking with God or fighting against God. My point is this, brethren. Satan is a destructive force. And he's moving with reckless abandon in today's society. Our nation is faced with a crisis of social deterioration. And often, I mean, just take a look around. We're a culture out of control. Today's culture pushes us to our limits, to live on the edge with no margin, no safety net, no boundaries, no room for error. And often the consequences define and influence our entire life. How did we get in this mess? Brethren, we lowered our moral standards. We're in a culture war that's out of control, and we're losing. We're losing. I mean, who is responsible for this war? Who's the real enemy? Who's behind the scenes pulling the strings? The Bible calls him a roaring lion because he's hungry, he's fierce, he's strong, and he's cruel. And like real lions, he rules by intimidation. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. You know the scripture. 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5. It says, be sober, meaning be of sound judgment. Be vigilant, meaning be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Brethren, one of the reasons the American culture is deteriorating, it's because Christians are nowhere to be found except in church. Nobody wants to step outside of their comfort zone. Nobody wants to put up any resistance. Brethren, Satan will never defeat God in any war. But he can and he will defeat you and me if we don't resist him. If we don't stand in the gap, he will defeat us. So what can we do to fight back? Brethren, part of what God is looking for is for someone to do the work. You can't be lazy and work for God. I mean, picture a hole in the wall. Just because you're not a stonemason or a carpenter doesn't mean leave the hole in the wall. Do something about the hole. If all else fails, duct tape it. Just do the work. God is looking for someone just to stand in the gap, and he'll handle it from there. What else can we do to fight back? Brethren, pray for our families, the community, our nation. It's important that we make prayer the focal point of our lives. We have to make time for prayer. It cannot be a casual occurrence. God wants to hear from us all the time, not just at dinner time, but morning, noon, and night, during the good times and the bad times. It's a relationship that God wants with us. So what else can we do to fight back? Brethren, we have to make the commitment to stand strong for what we believe is right. We have to keep the faith and know that God will be there for us. No matter what's thrown at us, we have to stand strong. We have to put on the whole armor of God. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, and we'll begin in verse 13. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication, and supplication for all the saints. Brethren, God is looking for someone to proclaim His message to a world that is either too busy or uncaring of the things of God. And it's time that Americans and God's people wake up and see the grave danger that's gathering on the horizon of our beloved nation. It may be too late to change the course of this nation and its drift from its moral foundation. It may be too late. But it's not too late for you and for me as God's children to turn to God in prayer and repentance and commitment for what we believe is right. And then it's time for America and for this world, and especially God's people, young, old, weak, poor, doesn't matter. It's time for us to stand strong. It's time for us to fight the good fight of faith. Not tomorrow, not next Sabbath, not next week, but today. Satan has a powerful army out to steal our hearts and our minds and to destroy everything that we have built in this country and in our culture, our families, the church, our nation. Satan is a marketing genius. Yes, he is. And that's why we have to stand strong. And remember, his business is booming. Drug trade is at an all-time high, no pun intended. Murder rate has skyrocketed. Pregnancy and abortion is all too common. Brethren, we have to take a stand. In closing, regardless of what Satan throws at us, we must never ever give in to Satan's plea for our hearts and our minds and for the hearts and minds of our children. We have to stand in the gap. This message is for every person who is tired of the moral decline in our country. This message is for those who are willing to make an effort to turn it around. This message is for those willing to stand in the gap before God. Those willing to examine themselves and to make sure that godly principles are still active in our lives. Brethren, when God looks down upon us, will He find a people who care enough to get involved, to intercede for the fallen spiritual defenses in this land? Will He find a spiritual army to do battle? Or will He find folks who are just too busy and uncaring to stand in the gap, to lead the way? Where are we, men? God is looking. He's searching for a man to stand in the gap. Will He find you? Will He find you?